example, focuses on the deliverance of the Lord. Or Psalm 121, the help of the Lord. There's one that speaks of the mercy of the Lord, the protection of the Lord. And this particular psalm, Psalm 126, focuses on the restoration of the Lord. Now, the word restoration simply means to return something to a former state. If you appreciate classic cars, then you know exactly what I mean. While I was in my 20s, I had a friend who went out and purchased a 1967 Chevy Camaro. Now, at the time, I didn't know why he did that, because it was really just a chunk of rusty metal. It was junk. But in his mind, it was much more than just junk. He spent the next 6 months restoring that Camaro. And by the time he was done, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And it was, in fact, very difficult to think and to believe that at one time it was just a chunk of rusty metal. Well, that's what it means to restore something, to return it to its former condition. And that's what this psalm focuses on here, the restoration of the Lord. Now, this psalm, like many of the songs of ascent, is pretty simple. It's made up of two parts. One that looks back and recalls the restoration of the Lord. And the second part that looks forward to the future restoration of the Lord. And so, it fits nicely into what we're doing tonight. Tonight, like this psalm, we look back and we consider all that the Lord has done for us this year. But we also look forward to a new year with hope, with expectation for what the Lord will do. And although we don't know what 2015 will bring, one thing is certain. God is with us and will continue to be with us. And so my prayer for us tonight is that through this psalm, we might come to see that the Lord is faithful. He has always been faithful to us. He's been faithful to all His promises. And we can trust that He will be faithful into this coming year as well. While the psalm begins by speaking of the Lord's restoring the fortunes of Zion. Now, although it doesn't say exactly what restoration is being referred to here, I think it's fairly clear that what's being referred to is the restoration of God's people from exile in Babylon. If you remember, after the Lord delivered His people from Egypt, He fulfilled all His promises to them, brought them into the land, defeated their enemies all around them, and gave the land to them. The Lord essentially established Israel in the land as a nation that would represent Him on earth. And with that came blessing, came fortunes that Israel enjoyed. And that's what the psalm here refers to. It's the establishment of Jerusalem, known then as Zion, and the many blessings that came with that establishment. Those blessings and fortunes were best experienced during the reign of Solomon. If you would turn with me to 1 Kings 4:20, it gives us a nice summary of those fortunes. The text summarizes for us the kinds of blessings and fortunes that Israel experienced at that time. And as we read this, listen to the language that is used. Listen to how Solomon's rule was summarized. This is kind of a golden age for Israel. 1 Kings 4, verse 20. Judah and Israel were as many as the sand by the sea. Notice, that's a direct fulfillment of Genesis 22. They ate and drank and were happy. Beautiful summary. Solomon ruled over all the kingdoms from the Euphrates to the land of the Philistines to the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now go down to verse 24. For he had dominion over all the regions west of the Euphrates from Tishsa to Gaza, over all the kings west of the Euphrates, and he had peace on all sides around him. And Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan even to Beersheba, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, all the days of Solomon. Beautiful, glorious summary of the peace and prosperity that Israel experienced at that time. Maybe you've heard it said before, but the land was supposed to be a kind of Eden, a type of Garden of Eden for the people. And that's what the Lord made it to be. But what happened? Well, we know what happened. Israel sinned against God. They committed spiritual adultery. They traded their blessings for curses. They traded the dwelling of God among them for idols. They even offered their very children as sacrifices to those idols. To put it simply, Israel turned from God. And they themselves became just another pagan nation on earth. And so the Lord punished them. The Lord took away all of their blessings, and He used the nation of Babylon to come in and to conquer the land and to exile the survivors at the time. Psalm 137 records the despair that Israel faced in that exile. If you would turn there briefly with me. What we see here is really a sharp, sharp contrast from what we read in 1 Kings 4. Psalm 137. It says, "There by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion on the willows, there we hung up our lyres. For there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" As I said, Psalm 137 stands as a sharp contrast to 1 Kings 4. It presents a very, very bleak picture of Israel. Where there was joy, there's now despair. By the waters of Babylon, the people sat and wept. Where there were songs of celebration, instruments played, those instruments now hang unused. The very notion, the idea of singing itself was only used to torment the people. Sing us a song of Zion. And the psalmist ends by saying, "How? How can we sing? How can we sing a song of the Lord in a foreign land?" A very depressing situation for Israel. A very despairing period for them. Now, having this before our minds tonight really helps us to see how in Psalm 126, the restoration of the Lord was such a spectacular thing to the people. In Psalm 126, the psalmist is overjoyed for the restoration of the Lord. He says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed." Have you ever had something happen to you that was just so unreal, so surreal, that it seemed like a dream? This can't be. That's what it was like for these people. It was an unbelievable event. When the Lord brought the exiles back into the land, blessed them and provided for them to again build the temple to the Lord, it was a wonderful thing. Notice how the people were characterized in verse 2 with laughter, shouts of joy. This is like a great homecoming. If you've ever been homesick, you know that when you finally come back home, it's such a great feeling. Well, imagine this homecoming. These were people who were not just away from home, they were enslaved, exiled, and now freed, rescued, so to speak, delivered, restored. This was an event that even the nations took notice. They say the Lord has done great things for them. The blessings of the Lord to Israel was obvious to anybody around. And the psalm ends this first half with agreeing with that statement. The Lord has done great things for us. Now, I don't know where you are tonight, but I can tell you, we too have great reason to say that the Lord has done great things for us. He has given us Jesus. Jesus, His only Son. He has given us the greatest restoration that the world will ever see. Through Christ, He's given us restoration with Himself, fellowship with God. And as we look back over this past year, 2014, maybe it's been a difficult year for you. Maybe it's been a year of challenges, a year of some dark times of life, a year where maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe even tonight, you still find yourself in that place of despair. Maybe hearing the words of Psalm 137 is what you can really sympathize with tonight. Well, friend, I want to tell you, Psalm 126 stands here to remind us that the Lord is always with His people. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He who has given His Son for us, why would He withhold anything good for us? Just as He did not leave nor forsake Israel, even though they turned from Him, although they turned to idols, He will not leave us. He will bring us too from a time of despair to a time of joy, a time of peace. The Psalms teach us that although there is mourning and weeping for an evening, there is joy in the morning. Friend, if the Lord was gracious enough to restore Israel, He will be gracious and kind to us, to bless us, to comfort us in our difficulty, to provide for us where we need provision. And maybe tonight, you're here and you're looking back over this past year, 2014, and maybe it's been a really disappointing year. A year of struggling with sin and temptation, and maybe you feel just unworthy of the blessings of the Lord. Well, hold on to that thought. Hold on to that, because the truth is, you're not worthy. None of us are. But thanks be to Christ that God's presence among us, God's blessings to us, is not based on our worthiness, but it's based on Christ. Allow that disappointment, just like despair, allow that to turn you to Christ, to turn you to cling to Him all the more. And so as we look over this past year, we have reason to say the Lord has been good to us. The Lord has blessed us. Given us His Son. But I think when we look back to this year of 2014, as a church, as a congregation, there are other reasons why we can say the Lord has been good to us. Our church continues to see growth, both spiritually and numerically. The gospel is preached twice each Sunday. And the more we hear that message, the more we hunger for it, the more we desire for it. There have been a number of babies born, and even now we expect even more new births. There's been professions of faith, baptisms, even new believers' baptisms. All blessings, wonderful things for our church to experience. And so, although there are difficulties, and there have been difficulties in this past year, there's also reason to say that the Lord has done good things for us. Well, we not only look back over this past year, but we also look forward to the year to come. And that's where this psalm takes us next. It moves us from looking back to God's restoration to looking forward to His continual restoration and blessing. The psalmist says in verse 4, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord." Now, it might seem peculiar at first. Didn't he just say that the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion? Why would he now ask for the Lord to do that again? Well, I don't think it's all that peculiar, because really the blessings of the Lord does that to us. When we experience the blessings of the Lord, when He provides for us, when He sustains us, it causes us to cry out even more, "Lord, continue to bless us. Lord, continue to provide for us. Continue to sustain us where we are." And that's what the psalmist is doing here. The fact that he appreciates the restoration of the Lord causes him to realize how much he needs the Lord. And really what I think this displays to us is our utter dependence. Our utter dependence upon the Lord. As we, in just a few hours from now, enter into a new year, one thing will be the same. And that is our dependence upon the Lord our God. We are always and constantly in a state of dependence, like a little child who is constantly and utterly dependent upon their parent every moment of their life. We are that child. We depend upon the Lord. And when we realize that of dependence, we'll begin like this psalmist to say, more, Lord. We need more of you, more of what you offer. And through that acknowledgement, we'll begin to see our time with the Lord, not as something that we have to do, but as something we desire, something we need. We'll come to see our time in worship, our time in prayer, our time in our devotions, our Bible reading, as times and privileges where we as little children call out and cry out to the Lord for all that we need. And times where our great provider will graciously give us everything that we stand in need of. We are His children. He, our Heavenly Father. Jesus teaches us about the provisions of the Lord when He says, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more your Heavenly Father, how much more your Heavenly Father will give you the things that you need in this life. And so as we enter this new year, we can do so assured that the Lord will provide for us. The Lord will be with us. Now, this doesn't mean that this coming year won't have its share of difficulties. It will. That's just life. That's reality. As long as we live this side of eternity, there will always be difficulties. There will always be strife. But notice what verse 5 says, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Psalmist is very realistic here. It's not just speaking about pie in the sky. Life is difficult. This coming year will be no different. We'll have to work, and work may be difficult. We'll continue to have relationships with people, and those people may be difficult. There'll be trials. There'll be possibly deaths, and all that will be difficult. But here's the thing. As Christians, we don't go through those difficulties alone. The Lord has promised to be there with us every moment on that way. He's there to provide for us. He's there to sustain us, to protect us, to bless us. So that we can say with the psalmist here in verse 6, he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy. What we have here is a very realistic picture of the Christian life. A life that isn't immune to difficulty, but a life where the Lord has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We are His, He is ours. And the most wonderful thing about that is that as Christians, we have a great hope, a great expectation, a certain hope that although we suffer now, a day is coming, a time will come when every tear will be wiped away, when every suffering will be put away. It'll be a day when we will be with the Lord in all eternity. And who knows, maybe 2015 brings that day when the Lord returns and returns with the fullness of restoration for His people. And that's really what the passage is ultimately speaking of here. That full restoration. When we consider restoration, we're not just considering Israel's restoration into the land. We're not just considering the Lord restoring to us comfort and peace. But we're ultimately talking about that final restoration. The restoration that really this table here before us points us to, reminds us to, promises us. Not just peace at this moment now, but eternal peace with God. Not just communion with fellow man, but communion with God Himself. And this passage reminds us of that. The restoration that we now experience in part, but one day we'll experience the fullness of God dwelling in our midst. So a restoration that the book of Revelation speaks so beautifully of in Revelation 21. Listen to these words. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." Beautiful, beautiful expectation. Beautiful, certain hope. And so as we enter into a new year, we enter as people who have this great hope ahead of them, before them. And it isn't a fleeting hope. It's a certain hope. A hope that is secure. A hope that has been purchased by the very life of Jesus himself. And because it has been purchased by him, it cannot be taken away. We can trust, we can be assured that this will be ours. It's ultimately because of Christ that our tears, our sorrows, our difficulties will one day be turned into shouts of joy. And what a glorious day, what a wonderful day that will be. And so we are today, now, at this very moment, at the end of 2014 and at the beginning of 2015, a people who are blessed. The Lord has done great things for us. He has restored his people, and he will continue to restore us. And eventually, he'll bring us into complete restoration. And so as we enter, we are again reminded to look to Jesus, the guarantee of that restoration, the guarantee of our peace, the guarantee of our blessings and our provisions. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that every moment of our lives, we can either look back or look forward, and we know that you have been with us and that you will be with us. We thank you, Lord, that your presence is with us because of Christ and because of what he has done for us. Father, we pray that you comfort us with that truth. Strengthen us with that truth, Lord. Strengthen us so that we might go into a new year looking to Jesus, remembering the great hope and expectation that we have, and praising you always for all that we have in him. We pray this now in his name. Amen.